New Year's resolutions, right? How many have ever made a New Year's resolution? Okay, you can confess, yeah. How many ever finished their New Year's resolution? Not as many, right? Well, let's talk about why. Why do we make New Year's resolutions? Some of you confessed, some of you didn't. Why are New Year's resolutions made? Get a better life, okay?
Improve yourself,
all right? I see nodding heads, that's good. What else? Goals, setting new goals, good. Anybody else? Oh, we could get into specific resolutions. Show of hands on this one, show of hands on this one, yeah. Yeah, well, here's some interesting statistics. The Ohio State University, in their lead read today, states that only 9% of Americans who make resolutions at New Year's Eve will succeed. Now, how's that for depressing, right? Okay, and here's another one. Okay, that means 91% of resolutions will not be successfully completed. Another source states that 88% of resolutions are abandoned by mid-January. Okay? We only have one athlete in our family. It's our Chicago daughter. Well, I guess she's our Wisconsin daughter now. And she did triathlons. She did Ironmans. She did 15. She just retired from her Ironman career. So, top-notch athlete. She said the worst time to work out is those first 2 or 3 weeks in January because the gym is packed. But if you're just patient, she says, in a week or two, it gets back to normal. Right? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd open our hearts, our minds. Give us a clear understanding of your will. Empower us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Well, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Let's read that together. This is ESV. Therefore, I urge you. See, I'm just going to stop and see if you were reading with me. Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right. Do not conform any longer to the pattern. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's where we want to be, right? We want to be in God's perfect will, his pleasing will, understanding about his sovereignty and our servanthood, right? In Philippians, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near, and do not be anxious about anything. But what? But in everything, by prayer and petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, we had New Year's resolutions up because we're all aware that changes need to be made, right? And I think this time of the year where we have new beginnings, we look to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have for me? Empower me for all you have for the new year. Right? But it's not the statement of the resolution or the making of the goal that is so likely to deteriorate. Is that Elliot asking if we're preaching or praying? Is he checking up on us? No? Well, tell him we're all right. Oh, it's not. Okay, what a relief. That transformation is so essential to our growing. Jesus talked about the seed that would be transformed and grow, and in that growth, there would be multiplication, exponential growth, right? He took his disciples to the vineyard and talked to them about being connected or abiding so that the Lord could prune us so that we would be more fruitful and then abundantly more fruitful, right? There is no life without growth. And it's God's desire that we become the person we've been called to be. Three times the Bible's writers talked about the potter and the clay, right? The potter starts out with a glob of clay, puts it on the wheel, and shapes it according to his plan and its intended purpose, right? Do you want to be that clump of clay? Do you want to be molded and shaped? Do you want to be that vine that gets pruned and cut back so that your life will be transformed? It's the renewing of the mind, right? And the guarding of our heart, where we seek to put God first, and we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things that we need are added to us. And the things that we don't need or aren't beneficial for us, we often see pruned away and cut back. So we want to be in that state of transformation, of being transformed, so that God can use us in a mighty way. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? For it is the wellspring of life. So there's part of that process that's up to us, and then there's part of that process that is up to God. Once that farmer sows his seed, there's not much he does. Right? So when we come to that point where we make our bodies a living sacrifice, when we're willing to say, Lord, I'm your steward. Lord, have your way. Purify me. We need to have our consciences, our conscious decisions made by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we get that first indication that we're making a poor choice. We stand by it and we turn. Familiar with the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house? Right? He's tempted by his boss's wife, and he turns his back on sin and runs away as fast as he can. That's the model God wants for each of us as we enter this new year. To pray, Lord, make me in tune with your Holy Spirit. Shape me, prune me, mold me. Why? Because God wants to use us. Just as that potter is shaping the clay, he's intentional about molding and shaping that clay so that it will fulfill his intended purpose. He has a design in his head or on his notes or his paper He knows what he wants to do with that piece of pottery when it's finished. He wants to sell it or give it away for its intended purpose. Without the molding and the shaping, it's just a glob of clay. Right? Right? Yeah. People make resolutions all over the world because they know something needs to be added or taken away from their circumstances, from their life, from their lifestyle, from their choices, from their circumstances. We do our part. God does his part. What do you think happens when we don't do our part? Yeah. God will likely bring whatever circumstances into our lives so that he can direct us to the point where we can surrender or will surrender. And that process is often painful. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians about life in the Spirit being so different from life in the flesh. He lists of all the things, or many of the things, in a secular life that would interfere with a spiritual life. And then he lists those things that are different for people who are living in the Spirit or by the Spirit and following the Spirit and yielding to God's perfect will. That's where we want to be, right? We want to be yielded. We want to be living and fulfilling God's purpose and his plan. Ephesians and Galatians, both Paul writes about we are being created for what purpose? To do good works that will bring glory and honor to God, right? We can't fulfill, that plan if we're not yielded and surrendered. Being pruned, being shaped, being transformed as we guard our hearts, because our heart is the wellspring of life. James 1:22, a familiar verse. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, or the NIV, become doers of the word. James has been an enlightening study. I've learned so much from the book of James and our services around the book of James. But I think the essence is that verse. We do all this so that we can become doers of the word, that we can do what the word tells us to do, and we do it joyfully so that we will produce fruit and that God will be fulfilled in that fruit, and we will fulfill the plan or the purpose that God has for us. I asked a couple people before service about the book Purpose Driven Life. Is that familiar? How many have read it? I asked a few of you about giving a testimonial about all you learned from it. I got four no's in a row. Not that it isn't an important book. Anybody that has read it have an enlightened testimony or word of encouragement? Because we've got some books to give away. Well, as some of you are aware, Penny and I were involved in disability ministry as missionaries for 20 years. And we spent one whole summer preaching and teaching out of the Purpose Driven Life book. It was absolutely astounding, astonishing, miraculous that people were dealing with disabilities, some all their lives, some as an accident, would see that no matter what their state was, or their body was, whatever condition it was in, God had a purpose and a plan. And that goes for every single one of us. That whole concept of God having a plan wasn't for the early church, wasn't for the apostles, wasn't for the fellow disciples. God has a purpose and a plan. And we can only fulfill it if we understand it and yield to God's blessings. So the book talks about a 40-day challenge for transformation. And in the early chapter, first chapter, Rick Warren, the author, gives us 40-day challenges that were transforming from the Bible. Take a look at these. Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. How fitting on a rainy day. Moses was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. The spies were transformed by 40 days in the Promised Land. David was transformed by Goliath's 40-day challenge. Elijah was transformed when God gave him 40 days of strength from a single meal. The entire city of Nineveh was transformed when God told the people, or gave the people, 40 days to change. Jesus was empowered by 40 days in the wilderness. The disciples were transformed by 40 days with Jesus after his resurrection. The book is set up in 40 short chapters, well, five chapters, but 40 readings, devotional style. And what they will do is give us insight into these five purposes that Rick Warren says God has for each one of us. What on earth am I here for? That's his opening question. That's his question he's going to answer for us within the confines of the book. You were planned for God's pleasure. You were formed for God's family. You were created to become like Christ. You were shaped for serving God. You were made for a mission. Doesn't that sound insightful? Doesn't that sound important? Doesn't that sound valuable? Well, it is. Because God intends for each of us to discover what God has planned for us to do. He plans to empower us to succeed and do what he's planned for us to do, complete the work that's been assigned to us. And he plans to reward us bountifully for a faithful life. Right? Paul writes in his last letter, 2 Timothy, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, I finished the race, and now a crown awaits me in heaven. That's what's waiting for each of us. But there'll be rewards here on earth while we run that race and fight that fight and keep the faith. There'll be rewards for us because Hebrews says that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Right? Right? So we have those books. We have 6 or 7 of them, and we can get more. And I'm hoping that maybe this year, instead of a resolution, you'll think about God's 40-day challenge. The goal is to be transformed, like Moses, like Jesus, like the disciples, like Noah, like the spies. It's God's heart to empower us by transforming us. Right? It's hard to live a life without the power. It's hard to live a godly life that's pleasing to God without being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God will reward us as we diligently seek him. He's on our side. Anybody question that? No, I didn't think so. Are you ready to be transformed? Or continuing to be transformed? Are you ready to be that living sacrifice? Do you want to do more for the kingdom of God? Do you want to discover God's purpose and plan for you?